And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News, with Paul Hill.
Lutheran churches all over the world are marking the 500th anniversary of the birth of the Protestant movement, with all sorts of celebrations from simple lunches to multi-faith gatherings in cathedrals. While many countries are more than familiar with the Lutheran denomination, others, including the United Kingdom, struggle to recognise it as one of the world's largest faiths. The London Times, for example, runs a piece headlined, "Martin Luther's Show Rolls into Britain to Heal 500 Years of Hurt." It tells about a storymobile, an HGV that transforms itself in a pop-up presentation suite with an exhibition, musical performances and storytelling, that plans to visit 68 cities since starting its journey across Europe in November. This week it has been in Liverpool, Cambridge and London. The European Reformation Initiative, organised by the German Protestant churches, is part of a number of special services, lectures, exhibitions and other events taking place throughout the year across Britain to commemorate the legacy of the Reformation and its significance for the Protestant and Roman Catholic churches and wider society today. As most, if not all, Lutheran listeners to Lutheran Radio UK will know, the culmination of the anniversary will come on October the 31st, the day on which Martin Luther nailed up his 95 theses in Wittenberg. Westminster Abbey will host an ecumenical service at noon with participation by church leaders from all denominations. It will be followed by a symposium on the theme, Liberated by Grace. There will be a particular focus in October on St Andrews in Scotland. It can claim to be the birthplace of the Scottish Reformation, with four men having been put to death in the town for their reforming zeal, including Scotland's first Protestant martyr, 24-year-old Patrick Hamilton, in 1527, and its last, 82-year-old Walter Milne, in 1558. Rowan Williams, the former Archbishop of Canterbury, will preach at an ecumenical service on Reformation Day itself on October the 31st at the town's Holy Trinity Parish Church. The Times, while it is very pleasing to have a large feature about Martin Luther in it, fails to give a mention at all that the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England even exists. Whatever your church is doing, and whatever country you may be listening to this program in, take the opportunity this year to promote the Lutheran name and the saving message of Christ to your neighbourhood. If you need resources and free graphics for newsletters or banners for the front of your church, look at http://lutheranreformation.org. That's one word, lutheranreformation.org. Muslim parents are choosing Church of England schools for their children because they believe they prepare youngsters for life in modern Britain, it's been suggested. Amid a rise in hate crimes and racial and cultural tensions, the church is offering an education where no passports are required, according to its chief education officer, the Reverend Nigel Genders. In a blog, he said Muslim mothers and fathers want to send their children to schools where they will learn to understand different faiths underpinned by Christian ethos. We constantly hear from Muslim parents who tell us that they choose our schools precisely because we take faith seriously and offer an approach to education that gives attention to spiritual as well as academic development, he said. They welcome the opportunity to send their children to a school which will ensure mutual understanding of faiths while being clear about the Christian heritage and underpinning narrative on which its ethos and values are based. Like the millions of others who have attended such a school, they know that we prepare children for life in modern Britain and a world that is increasingly connected. The Reverend Genders added, the last year has seen a worrying rise in the numbers of registered hate crimes and racial or cultural tensions. The increasingly nationalistic tendencies in countries around Europe and across the Atlantic lead some to conclude that we should build walls of division and implement policies that keep others out. But we are proud that our Church of England schools are modelling an education where no passports are required and the doors are wide open to the communities they serve. At heart, we are offering an education that is deeply Christian, serving the common good, and the millions of people who have had their lives enriched by such an education will be pleased to know that we continue to do so. There are no statistics available on the number of Muslim youngsters being taught at Church of England schools. Around 1 million schoolchildren in England attend one of the church's schools, it said, and around half of its schools do not select on faith. Last autumn, the government announced proposals to relax rules that currently prevent faith schools from selecting more than half of pupils according to religion. In its response to the proposals, the Church of England said it would not push for schools to be allowed to select more than 50% of pupils based on faith. Ofsted now inspects all state schools on whether they promote British values, including democracy, liberty, and mutual respect and tolerance. The move came in the wake of the Trojan horse scandal, which centred on an alleged move by a small group of hardline Muslims to seize control of a small number of schools in Birmingham. A Pennsylvania school district has agreed to remove a granite Ten Commandments monument from outside a high school and pay $164,000 in legal fees to settle a federal lawsuit. The Freedom for Religion Foundation said it received a signed settlement on Tuesday from the New Kensington Arnold School District, saying it will relocate the 6-foot-high monolith from near the gym entrance at Valley High School within 30 days. "We're very glad it's over, but honestly it shouldn't have been fought in the first place," said Annie Laurie Gaylor, co-president of the foundation. The district's lawyer declined to comment, and the man who signed the release last week, Superintendent John Pallone, did not return messages. The school is in New Kensington, about 20 miles northeast of downtown Pittsburgh. The challenge to the monument was filed in 2012 by a student and her atheist mother, Marie Schaub. The girl encountered the monument as she attended recreational events or dropped off her sister, a Valley High student at the time. The district won a favorable decision in 2015 by a federal judge who said the girl had minimal contact with the monument because she was not a student at the school when the lawsuit was filed. But the Third U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals reversed in August, leading to the settlement a mediator helped hammer out in early January. A community member like Shell may establish standing by showing direct, unwelcome contact with the allegedly offending object or event, regardless of whether such contact is infrequent or she does not alter her behavior to avoid it, the Third Circuit panel wrote. The monument was donated to the district in 1956 by the local chapter of the Fraternal Order of the Eagles. It includes an eagle, American flag, Star of David, and a Masonic eye. The foundation also was involved in a similar case leading to the removal of a Ten Commandments monument from outside Connellsville Area Junior High School in 2015. That marker, also originally erected by the Eagles group, was reinstalled on the grounds of nearby Connellsville Church of God, making it visible to anyone who approaches the school. A Zimbabwean pastor accused of subversion for protests against the government of President Robert Mugabe said that he is open to the idea of running for office. Evan Mawari spoke outside a court in the capital Harare, where his trial was postponed to March the 16th. He was detained for more than a week after returning this month from the United States, is out on bail. "There is a lot of conversations around a pastor running for public office. I don't see any way that it is not allowed. I am first a citizen before I am a pastor," said Mawari, who was arrested and released last year after launching a social media movement known as This Flag. He also organized protests in the United States after leaving Zimbabwe for what he said was safety concerns. He has been charged since his return with subverting a constitutionally elected government. Mawari has been repeatedly criticized by Mugabe, whose government has faced economic hardship and discontent among many Zimbabweans, who say the 92-year-old leader has been in power too long. Mugabe, who became leader in 1980, turns 93 next week. The ruling ZANU-PF party plans to use the occasion to rally support with the big party on February the 25th. The pastor said he would continue his anti-government activism despite what he described as persecution by the state. "It's my constitutional right to be involved with other citizens, to express ourselves freely, to challenge the government the way they should be challenged by their citizens," said Mawari, who was described this month by a state prosecutor as a terrorist. Bavaria will ban the full-face veil in schools, universities, government workplaces and polling stations, the southern German state said. The move comes 7 months before a federal election where immigration will be a prominent issue, and the Bavarian Conservatives that govern the region, the sister party to Chancellor Angela Merkel's, are worried about losing votes to the anti-immigrant Alternative for Germany, the AfD. Communication happens not only via language, but also via looks, facial expressions and gestures, Bavarian Interior Minister Joachim Herrmann said after the regional government agreed a draft law to ban the full-faced veil for civil servants and in public places where there are concerns for public safety. It's the foundation of our interactions with each other, and it's the basis of our free and democratic order, he said. Concealing your face is at odds with this culture of communication. In December, Chancellor Angela Merkel called for a ban on full-face Muslim veils wherever legally possible. The move comes after more than a million, mainly Muslim, migrants arrived in Germany over the last 2 years amid widespread security fears after several Islamist attacks last year. France and Belgium have banned the burqa, and the region of Lombardy in northern Italy has banned it in hospitals and public offices belonging to the regional government. Herrmann said he expected Bavaria's regional parliament, in which the CSU has an absolute majority, to approve the law by the summer break. And finally, a hair-raising story from Vienna, where just about everyone wants to be Donald Trump during carnival season in Austria. So much so that some costume rental shops have run out of wigs mimicking the US president's signature hairstyle. Austria celebrates the pre-Lenten carnival season with scores of balls and other masked events in the winter, and Manuela Plank, who runs a costume store in the village of Plastatten, south of Vienna, said she has run out of ready-made Trump wigs. Ms. Plank says the hairpieces are generally hard to find elsewhere, and she has taken to fashioning normal blonde hairpieces into Trump wigs to meet the demand. My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.